This is the Tonecast from Border Pickups.
Well, hello and welcome to the Tonecast. This week we're going to be having a conversation about budget guitars versus expensive guitars, why you should buy either, which is right for you, and how both can be great platforms for a Border Pickups upgrade. I'm Derek, and as usual, I'm sitting across from Brian Porter.
Hey, what's up, everyone? A little lower voice today, kind of fighting a cold, so you're going to have a little lower bass Brian today.
He's getting his real radio DJ on.
I know. Starting to sound like Isaac Hayes or something now.
Well, before we launch into our main topic, we were going to talk about a question that we get quite often in different ways, and that being, why buy Porter pickups? And maybe more specifically, Brian, I'm going to throw this one to you, but maybe more specifically, for our standard models, like a Telecaster pickup or something like that, why is Porter pickups a better option than my stock Telecaster pickups?
Sure, yeah. And sometimes, you know, that question is, we get it a lot, you're right. And it is, in a way, sometimes it's kind of uncomfortable depending on how it's asked. Totally. I don't know if they're wanting us to say, you know, choose ours because these are so bad. That's not really the way that we do things, but it's a lot of it is trying to just explain what goes into the creation of the Porter pickups models, and that each model is, we have the pickups with a purpose kind of slogan, where we say this model will fit your need depending on the tone that you're after. Go this way, go that way. Not that other companies haven't done the research, because they certainly have. Mm-hmm. It's more of just, this is our philosophy and what we're trying to do, and we really try to nail those specific things to the point that someone was dead convinced that they want this model, and I've said, no, you actually probably want this model because, you know, we make it, and this is why we make it, and this is where it fits in with kind of what you're saying. So really, like, it comes back to, like, a lot of our goals is trying to listen to the customer and say, this is what you need. Based on our research and our development of it, because we know our products really well. And, you know, the truth is we don't know other people's products very well.
Yeah.
And we're not spending a lot of that time researching what they're doing, you know, in terms of wines and materials and all that stuff. And that's kind of been the philosophy from the beginning, is just like, here's our take on this, and here's where it fits.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why we have, you know, a lot of people have used the pickup chooser on the website. You know, on the bottom of the homepage and the contact page, you'll see a try our pickup chooser here. That's really where, when it comes to comparison stuff, it's kind of like they list what they're not getting or what they want, and then we fit that in with our recommendation. So in a sense, we are saying, like, this will help address those needs in this way.
Yeah.
Without saying, well, this company doesn't do this right, or this, you know, because that's not the way that we operate.
Yeah.
But it also is, you know, it is finding the right need for the customer ultimately.
Absolutely. I think that's what I love so much about the way that we've always done things, is we're not really in the market to make, I guess, it's never been about, oh, well, here's so-and-so's Telecaster pickup, we're going to make a better one, because that's all it's about. Really, for us, it is about just making a Telecaster pickup that we feel like works the best possible, and trying to think, okay, what do players need from these things? And I really love that about what we do.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we don't really do, the only time we're looking into what other pickups sound like or materials is when we're doing some of our vintage stuff.
Yeah.
And we don't really market it as like the best clone out there or whatever, but we do study, if we're going for that tone, if we're going for an era like our 60s Strat pickups or 50s Strat pickups, we really don't do like any specific years. We'll just say, we want to do this and this and this, and we're trying to get here in these ways.
Yeah.
And so the way we do that is listening to some of that stuff, or you know, like listening to some old recordings, or listening to actual, like with the PAFs, we went through different years of old PAFs and took the guitars and tested the pickups, tested the sound, and then we developed our anthems off of that. It really wasn't like we need to do them this specific way with this specific spacer and this. It was really like, what are our favorite parts of it, and how can we recreate the favorite parts? Because, you know, I played an old PAF in a Les Paul that I absolutely loved. And then there was one that was, I think it was 59s as well, okay. But it was in a 335 and it just, something wasn't right with it.
Yeah.
And the pickup wasn't broken. It just didn't sound, you know, from PAF to PAF,
yeah.
they're different. And so literally from that one, I was able to say, well, this is not what I want.
Yeah.
I actually want this. I want more clarity. I want more sustain and note definition.
Yeah. Trying to lend some consistency to the PAF, because it is really from pickup to pickup, those old PAFs can sometimes sound totally different.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was the thing too. We weren't going to make different flavors of PAF. We really, yeah. like in a lot of our stuff, like I said before, it's just really like, this is what we like. This is how we're going to get there. And and the consistency, like you said, is important because we want the anthems to sound the same in every guitar that they get put in. Obviously, each guitar is going to be different, but we want what the anthems are to be consistent in terms of like how we charge the magnets and our winding patterns and all that. That's got to be right. And so yeah. I think that's where we take a little bit more practical approach to the way that we wind. I mean, we're a small company and we have time to put the research in and say like, let's tweak this, let's tweak that. I mean, I know Derek, you as the winding guy, we've gone through a lot of tweaks on some of the models and saying, well, let's change this, let's change that, let's make it really unique between each, you know, type of pickup that we make. And so absolutely. I think that's really where we've approached it less as like a product and how can we mass produce it, more as like how can we make each of these be a great translation device for, you know, what you're playing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, maybe from that point we can move on to the things that we do over to the things that we don't do, which is guitars, the main subject we're here to talk about. We're going to talk a little bit just about budget guitars and expensive guitars. I know both you and I have owned both sides of things, and we both have kind of a passion for being able to see players of any level excel at what they're doing, I think. And this has been something you and I have talked about all the time, whether or not you should buy a $300 guitar and throw pickups in it, or a $6,000 guitar and throw a set of pickups in it, you know? So I think we're going to start on the budget guitar side of things and kind of just talk about what we like, what we don't like about it. Maybe you can get us started with the sure. budget size. Even yeah. talk maybe a little bit about what you consider to be the range of a budget guitar. Like what kind of money are we talking about
sure.
in that?
Sure. Yeah, what I think before we get into that, really what's funny is that we were doing the show planning and we were talking about doing the list, like a real versus thing where we argued one side or the other. And I think, you know, ultimately we just decided to have a conversation like we normally do. Yeah. Like you mentioned, we have a conversation in the shop about, you know, we get a demo guitar and, man, I really like this guitar. I really like the way that it plays. I like this. And so when it comes to budget guitars, there's a lot of advantages. I'll start with advantages first, sure. just from my end is you know, nowadays there's more versions of older guitars that, you know, like something with wide range pickups in it. Now you can get all sorts of different guitars with wide range pickups. It used to be not very affordable to do that. So I like that. I can go spend a couple $100 and get a Jaguar, where mm-hmm. I may not want to spend $1,500, $2,000 to get a Jaguar, which I may not like anyways.
Yeah.
But for me, it's just like I can get a chance to try that out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously for us, having the ability to get demo guitars of different types is really helpful.
A little bit of coffee break here.
Definitely. We're going to go just straight live because I'm...
Hey.
My voice is dying already and we're only a few minutes in here.
I'll just take over at the 30-minute mark.
Yeah, so yeah, you can just recover as I pass out on the floor. So. Yeah, so I think, you know, looking at that, that's an advantage for me. Also the fact that, you know, there's a lot of guitars that are being made really well that are in that affordable range. So you mentioned the price point. I would consider budget guitars maybe like $750 and under. I know $750 is a lot of money to spend for some people on a guitar.
Yeah.
But I would still consider that a budget guitar based on, you know, the fact that some guitars get up into the $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 yeah. range. And, you know, with that, I would consider maybe the definition being, in my mind at least, you know, you can upgrade the guitar with something for under $1,000 or right around $1,000 total.
Yeah.
So if you spend $300 on a guitar and a couple hundred on pickups and then some wiring, and then, you know, you pay a guy $100 to put everything together, I would still consider that, you know, in the budget range.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm chugging the water here. I'm trying to stay with you.
It's all good. Well, I love, you know, I have a couple of budget guitars sitting at home. I know I've got a Squire Jazzmaster that we bought here for the shop just to do a lot of our demos and stuff. We just released the J90 demos in that guitar. Also a PRS SE Custom 24, I think. And I love both of those guitars. There's definitely pros and cons to each of them, but it is amazing, you know, when we pulled that Squire out of the box and it just had tens on it and maybe nines. I don't even know. It did not feel right. It was sloppy and the pickups were just not doing what I thought they should do at all. And it was funny because we were just kind of like, oh, this is just not great. But we've done a little bit of modification to it and just gotten it set up a little better as well. Of course, replacing all the electronics and pickups and all that kind of stuff. And it really, you know, these days I use it every once in a while. Sure. I have some guitars that I rely on a little bit more than it, but there are some times where it really just, it's the right thing, you know? So I'd say, you know, I love that guitar and I think we paid $300 for it or something.
Yeah,
I
mean, somewhere
it was
around
on
there.
The cheaper end of anything, really. But yeah, there's great companies out there, you know, making import lines. We just did an interview with Tommy from Sublime Guitar that's making some awesome guitars that we've got hanging up over there for, you know, really great prices. And I know Reverend's doing some good stuff as well. But yeah, the budget guitar line, it's just, I think for us, whenever we've talked about it, it's really just, does it feel right when you pick it up and play it, right? You know, you can go in and pick up a Les Paul Standard these days and it just doesn't feel right. You know, sometimes, you know, Gibson just didn't knock that one out of the park or whatever. And at the same rate, you can go pick up a Squire or something like that and it might just sing to you. So I'd say that's a big encouragement on the budget guitar side is just go out there and play some stuff. You know, if something catches your eye and you pick it up and it just feels like home, then maybe that's what you need. You know, sometimes you don't need the $2,000 or $3,000 guitar.
And I would say, like, for me, kind of, I have a in my head sort of like almost a checklist when I go and look for a guitar, you know, for the shop. Sometimes I'll buy it sight unseen from an online place. But if I get a chance to go down and try a couple, one of the things I look for is, does it resonate well? Does it play well? Is it fairly well set up? I'm not scared of doing a setup on one of those guitars, but if there's some glaring issues as far as, like, you look at the neck and maybe it's a little warped or frets are popping out or stuff that's really going to take you longer to get to it being playable, then I'll definitely avoid those. And if you go through and, like, a lot of times this might sound crazy, but I'll strum a G chord and you pick the guitar up and if you feel, by the time you get it to your ear, if you touch your ear to the back of it and you're still holding that chord, if it's still ringing by that time, it's a pretty good candidate for pickups, I think.
Yeah.
Because it resonates pretty well, and it just it's going to respond really well to what you have in there. So if it's that way, and then you don't feel like the sound is there, it certainly is a good candidate. And then obviously, you know, when you're looking at the budget stuff, it's a good idea to go ahead and if you're upgrading the pickups, go ahead and upgrade the pots with something like Emerson or you know, a bunch of other stuff that's available. Just being able to take that platform and then put that money into it. But it is, you're right. It goes back to, do you like the guitar? Do you like the way that it plays and it feels in your hand? And, you know, it might say Squire on the headstock, but a lot of times you'll find one that just really is like a gem. And it's like, this is great. I'll take it. You know, this works. And there's sometimes it's really, really nice to know you only spent a few $100 because sometimes you can spend a lot of money and be disappointed. And then, you know, in this case, you're like, this is awesome. I'm $500 into this guitar, and it sounds great.
Yeah.
And the other thing too is, you know, I think when I look at those guitars, and I, you know, I started out with a PV Predator, I think was my very first guitar, and I ripped that thing open within a couple months of buying it, and that's, you know, that started this whole mess that I'm in right now. But it's the thing about those two is you're only a few $100 in, so I encourage people to experiment with those guitars. Because what's the worst that can happen? You might fry a wire with your soldering iron,
yeah,
and you got to redo it. And then you learn about wiring guitars. So you open it up and you try it and you practice soldering.
Yeah.
If you practice soldering on the import, you know, pots and you mess one up, then you buy another pot for $7 and replace that. And, you know, so I think that to me, I look at that and that's like, you know, not necessarily like a playability advantage, but it is a function advantage where I can take the Strat that I bought, you know, and I can put in a new set of pickups and practice, you know, changing those out, getting the solder joints right and doing all that. Change my five-way switch or change a pot if it starts getting scratchy, you know, upgrade the whole guts of the guitar, you know, even like I've gone as far as taking a budget guitar and routing out the pickup area so I can put humbuckers in a Strat you know, you want a humbucker in your Tele neck position and you got a $150 Squire. Why not try it? You know, why not get a router and try it and
go grab that router and just go to town?
Cause I think, you know, across the board, I think a lot of people are maybe not as confident in jumping in there and modding and soldering and doing all that stuff. And, you know, if you have that, the one that's good thing about like Fenders and stuff like that is you can buy a new neck. Like if you want to try doing the frets or you want to try modifying the tuners or whatever and something drastically bad happens, you can buy a new neck and put it on there.
For sure.
I think that to me that really is like, you know, from the modder side of things, that's the other advantage. Just it's great to be able to take that and say, cool, I'm going to do something with this. You know, maybe you want to practice finishing. So strip off the finish and try, you know, paint it another color.
That's very true. Absolutely. Well, let's maybe move on to some of the expensive guitars. You know, for me, I think a lot of it comes down to not only, you know, what are you willing to have or whatever, but, you know, kind of how serious you are about it. It's definitely an investment to get into. You know, I know we've got a couple Andersons hanging up in the shop, and I've got my Gretsch at home that I saved up for quite a while for and that sort of stuff, and it's quite an investment to get into, and there are definitely some advantages to it. What do you like about, you know, I know your Cobra is like your Anderson Cobra is your baby.
Yes,
it sits at home. So maybe what about the Cobra just spoke to you and said, man, this is worth what I put into it.
Yeah, it's funny because it was bought out of, this might sound bad, it was kind of bought out of frustration, which is funny. We just mentioned the budget guitars. Well, I probably had, you know, five or six, maybe like $400 guitars in the shop, some Epiphones and Squires and things like that. And, you know, every time I'd pick one up, I felt like it was missing something. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously wasn't the greatest guitar playable-wise. And then also, you know, I modded it with the pickups, and of course, it's, you know, I like the sound of it and everything, but it just wasn't like, it wasn't for me, if that makes sense. Like, I kind of felt like, do I get, you know, $400 guitars, or do I get one guitar that's worth the same amount as all those put together that I want to keep?
Yeah.
You know, that I get to choose some options on, that I choose the color, I choose the finish. And, you know, with my background and like kind of in guitar making, just kind of as a hobby before the pickup started, is I really was like, what do I really value in a guitar? And so for me, it was playability. It was, you know, and everything kind of comes back to the pickups in a way, because I really wanted like a platform that was stable, something that was going to stay in tune and that wasn't like, you know, poor quality hardware, anything like that. So I could put the pickups in it and I could record demos, I could record videos, and I wouldn't have to stop and tune the guitar every 5 minutes, you know, where the setup was done right, the frets were and the intonation was great. You know, most guitars have that. Some guitars have it more than others. It's better. Less out of the box. And, you know, honestly, as things got busier, it was kind of a matter of time in a way, where it's like, do I want to grab a guitar? Do I want to go and re-level the frets and, you know, clean up the ends of the frets to make sure my hand didn't get sliced because they weren't done very, you know, they were done quickly in the factory or whatever.
Yeah.
So that sort of got my attention. And in the way that, like, you know, specifically with the Andersons, it was kind of like you pick it up and you just felt like inspired. You know, I helped at a music store for a while, and doing some repairs and things like that. And they were an Anderson dealer, and that was kind of my first experience with the Andersons. Everything that would come in the shop that was Anderson, or even we had Sirs that were incredible.
Yeah.
And it was just like, man, this is kind of mind-blowing. I mean, I have like USA Fenders and I have other guitars, but this is like a couple notches above that. And it was almost like to the point where I didn't know what to think in a way, because I was like, this is so good, but I can't really put my finger on why it's good. I can explain it more now, but when I first got it, it was like, okay, I get it. And that stuck with me. And so when I was looking at, you know, what we're calling expensive guitars, I said, this is a valuable thing to me, like to have those.
Yeah.
Even if it's one guitar that I just say, this is my favorite guitar, you know, it's got humbuckers. I love humbuckers. And so I just like this. I like the scale length. I like the neck and all that stuff. And so I just know that I can buy something.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike most musicians, I was buying that guitar so I could keep it
for
the long term, you know, and I had the confidence knowing, you know, the reputation of Anderson, the reputation of some of these other companies, that I'm buying something that's worth the money that I paid for it.
For sure. Yeah, I know. I have a very similar experience with Anderson in particular, is the ones that I've been able to spend the most time around. But there definitely is a level of craftsmanship that you don't really feel in a lot of other guitars. You know, up until playing some of these boutique kind of, you know, hand manufactured or just hand processed, you know, small shops that are paying so much attention to the detail and stuff. It's not only about, you know, I was telling you last week, I've been borrowing an Anderson for a few weeks now because my Gretsch is out on loan.
You need to bring that back, by the way.
It's actually already been sold, but no.
I appreciate it. Well, no. It'll just be me on the podcast next week.
Yeah, so you know.
Derek's not going to have a job.
I have to leave suddenly. No, and I will say, you know, I was telling Brian, it's strange because it's affected how I approach the songs that I'm playing. You know, a lot of these songs that I've played a million times and that kind of stuff, I'm realizing, oh, with this particular guitar, I mean, there's so much resonance to those guitars. The sustain is just unrealistic. And so I'm like, wow, delay is just like too much for this instrument to handle, you know, or just, it's also nice, like, you know, you find the small details in those companies where it's like the kind of where your hand meets the body, it's contoured in just a way, you know. And I always love my Telecaster, but man, you know, that thing's a solid hunk of wood and it does not feel like that, you know, it doesn't feel comfortable all the time and stuff. So there is an aspect of, I think, those more expensive guitars where you really can feel the craftsmanship in it. And just, I don't know, that's the biggest advantage to me. You know, obviously the disadvantage is, I would say, for one, if you're the kind of guy that needs more than one guitar, it's going to get really hard, you know? Yeah. And that's not a slight towards anyone that needs more than one guitar. I mean, I used to play in a band where we used alternate tunings and all this stuff, and I needed three guitars, and there's no way I'm going to go out and buy three Andersons, you know? I mean, that's a down payment on my house.
Sure.
So, you know, that might be your limitation that you're looking at. Also, you know, I know a lot of people, as they're kind of coming up and trying to round out their gear in general, it's like, yeah, you know, maybe buying the $4,000 guitar isn't for you right now because you still need to go out and grab a tube amp, you know, or whatever. It will definitely, you know, an Anderson is amazing, but it's not going to make your solid state amp sound like a tube amp or something, you know? And so I think there's some limitations there to just, you do, I mean, obviously it makes good gear sing, it makes bad gear sing even better. But I think if you're going to put so much money into something that expensive, then, you know, you probably have other gear to back it up.
Yeah. And I would say too, like, I think, we're living in a great time with options right now, and sometimes that makes it harder. But there's a lot of boutique small builders, you know, small shops that, you know, some we work with, some we don't, but they just make fantastic instruments, and they, you know, they're kind of they understand the craft of it, and it's less of a mass-produced product, and mm-hmm. they're like, how can I make this a really good instrument, a memorable instrument? And a lot of those guys really are turning out some incredible stuff. And, you know, for me, it's like I kind of have in my head maybe sort of a cap on, like, how much I really want to spend on a guitar. But at the same time, knowing what I got out of my guitar, if it was, you know, a couple mm-hmm. times more expensive, then I would be like, I got to save my money.
Yeah.
And I got to, you know, maybe get another job or something to, to actually get to where I can afford this. And so, you know, there is definitely, you know, both sides of it. And again, I would say, like, the way that I would approach it is go play some stuff. Have you heard, mm-hmm. you know, if you've heard that, like, Sur guitars are really incredible, yeah. or you've heard that something like, you know, like the Andersons or other boutique brands. I mean, there's so many, like, great boutique builders. Go and try and play one. You know, maybe while you're on the road, like I've done this before, where, you know, we live in a place where there's not as many boutique, you know, options as yeah. far as just walking into a music store. So, you know, if I'm in Portland or Seattle or Phoenix or something on the road for a guitar show, I'll go check out a store that has these guitars. And it's yeah. been great because I've been able to go and say, I've heard about these, but I really want to see what they're about. Mm-hmm. You know, and hopefully it's a shop that lets you play them. Sometimes with, you know, with the guitars being so expensive, some shops, they pretty much won't let you touch them. But you can look at them.
You got to put the down payment down first.
Exactly. But I would say, you know, that advice is exactly the same for the cheap guitars versus yeah. the expensive ones. Because especially in the expensive ones, you know, I could buy a Squire. You know, we bought one with wide ranges for our demos.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, this is what it's for. It's going to serve its purpose. And it worked out great. It was actually a really yeah. pretty good playing guitar.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, if I was going to buy a custom guitar with wide ranges in it, I would think a little longer about what I really wanted.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the neck carve would be more important to me, or maybe, you know, the type of finish or whether it was solid or semi-hollow. You know, I think that's where maybe as the price increases, it gets, you know, more overwhelming, because I can go and talk to a builder and say, I'm looking for this, and they may have, you know, 100 options for me. And you're looking at this and you're like, man, what, you know I want chrome hardware, but I don't know what finish I want. And I don't know what, you know. So sometimes you'll go yeah. you go into a store and you'll play a guitar that has the specs and the finish and the look that you want. But when you get to that level of, like, I'm looking at this guitar and I'm not going to design everything, I'm going to be a part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're really, like, you know, I can understand why it takes most musicians a long time to choose something like that, because it is kind of overwhelming when you look
process,
at it.
Yeah. Well, the kind of, maybe the thing that we haven't quite touched on too much yet is, what about, I mean, we talked about the extremes, I think. You know, we talked about the boutique hand-built stuff. We talked about your very, you know, your lower range, mid-range. What if, you know, I'll just maybe put a hypothetical out to you. So I'm Johnny, and I've saved up my $1,300, and I'm thinking about throwing down some money on, you know, an American Telecaster new or something like that. What do you think about that scenario? Like, if you're in that kind of mid range, yeah, you know, maybe I've decided that I'm never going to spend $4,000 on a guitar. Sure. Right. But I do want to put some serious money behind it, and I want something that stands out. Right. So maybe that $1,200 to $1,400 range. What do you kind of think?
Sure. Yeah. There's a lot of ways that I go, because you'll get into that
range. Yeah.
You'll get into that range, and you have to have that conversation. You have to say, you know, do I want to save $500 more and start getting into that low 2000s range? So
yeah.
I can, you know, that's going to open up a lot more options. Do I be Mr. Practical and say, well, I could buy two used guitars or two, like, budget guitars for that mm-hmm. price and just add two more guitars to my arsenal?
Yeah.
Or do I say, like, okay, I'm in this range and I can probably buy a used something from a boutique company that might be, you know, it might be $3,500 regular,
yeah,
but it might be $1,800 used because it's, say, it's from, you know, the late 90s or early 2000s, and it's just like a really sweet, you know, sweet yeah. guitar, but it's just priced really well. So there's that option. I would, you know, in that price range, you're really, like, it's amazing how, like, $100 one way or the other yeah, really goes, you know, really goes really far.
Totally.
You know, if $1,200 might not get you a used boutique guitar, but $1,400 might, especially around tax time or something
sure,
like that.
Yeah.
Know? So there's times where, you know, we've all done this where we look for gear and we say, man, I could buy this right now. I could buy this guitar.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what you want to do. Maybe, you know, maybe you have more self-control than all of us combined and you say, I have $1,200. That's what I'm going to spend.
Yeah.
And if you do, then you look at that and you see all the options within that price point, mm-hmm. and you make a decision.
Yeah.
But if you're, you know, patient enough, which much of us aren't.
Yeah.
You can find something. You know, I've found like, excuse me.
You're good.
I found some, you know, like used Gibsons or like Fender Japan, which I really like that, or Tokais or something mm-hmm. that's not, doesn't have the big brand name on it, but I can get like a cool Strat for, you know, a lot less than I might go and pay for something new or a custom shop Strat or anything like that. So
yeah,
I think there's a lot of approaches, and I don't think there's a right or wrong. It is, again, back to the player that says like, this is what I like. And,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I would say though, like, you know, I would err on the side of doing the research.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got $1,300, like, see what you can get for $1,700. Maybe that means you sit on the money for a couple months, but in the end of the day, you make a better choice
yeah.
on an instrument. Because I, you know, as much as we see people go through stuff like pedals, they're recycling pedals as much as they can. People do that with guitars as well.
Yeah.
And the last thing you want to do, you know, even like I feel like anything over $800 to $1,000, anything over that, like I really like, I want to make a good decision on it.
Yeah.
And I want to buy something that I'll keep. And I try not, sometimes I'll think about, well, can I resell it? You know, some people, you know, they'll buy something and they want to know that they can just turn around and sell it if they don't like it. And that's where I think some of the expensive guitars do come in handy. If it's a good brand name,
mm-hmm.
it'll hold its value pretty well. And so, you know, at the end of the day, if you need a few bucks for something, which
yeah.
has always happened to us, you know, it's like, okay, I've got a guitar that's worth $1,500 all the time and I can dump it and, you know,
absolutely
save my butt that month or something there for rent or whatever it is.
No, yeah, I would completely agree with you. That's a lesson I feel like I'm learning constantly, is just have patience when you're buying stuff, you know? And the patience is great because A, you know, you got $1,200 and instead of hopping on Reverb tonight and buying a guitar just right now, you say, you know, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to look at the market, see what I can find. You will find those Sirs or, you know, something that'll come on that's maybe a little older, but man, just still sings, you know? And also you can be putting away a little more, you know, as you wait a little longer, as sure. hard as it is. And I know I've been guilty of making, you know, impulsive purchases and that kind of stuff, but I would encourage anyone to just kind of be patient, be watching all the used sites out there, whether it's eBay or Reverb or even Guitar Center's used site, you know, cycles through a lot of products pretty fast. And so, you know, just keep looking, keep checking back, and one day that perfect thing will show up, you know?
Sure. It usually shows up when you don't have any money.
Right, yeah. But
that's how, you know, that's how it works.
What are you doing on used sites with no money, right?
Or you get a new guitar and you're on eBay that night, you know, looking at something else. And but yeah, I think you're right, though. I think it's one of those things where you, you know, try to make the best decision that you can, you know, because most of us aren't, you know, if we're musicians or whatever, we're not really sitting on a lot of money.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's nothing worse than spending a bunch of money and just being like disappointed, you know, like mountain biking a lot. And, you know, I buy a mountain bike and it's like, this is great. I wish I would have saved up, you know, $300 more, or I wish, you know, just to get something that I could, you know, be really happy with. And mm-hmm. so I've learned that lesson. I still like don't always go through that.
We're all human, right?
But I would say on the counter argument side of that, I would say that look for wild cards.
Mm-hmm.
You see all these artists with these crazy guitars that are just like, you know, this neck from here and this neck from there. And it just kind of has something quirky, something fun about it that you can't get anywhere else. And so there's there's that unique quality to it. So maybe it is a $1,200 Gibson that is completely just gutted.
Yeah.
And you've got to go and start from the beginning. But then you have a guitar that has a story. Mm-hmm. And everyone likes those guitars that have stories that they say, I'm not going to sell it. I don't care how much you offer me. It's not for sale because of these different factors. And that's really where it gets kind of fun, is because you get to know these stories. And as guitarists, we like to tell these stories, you know?
Yeah.
I found this guitar in a dumpster and I revived it. And now it's, you know, it's been on stage with this person and this person. And there's a couple guys that I know that have those stories where, you know, they get like this really rare Les Paul.
Yeah.
And then it's like, man, this is just so cool. And I can't sell it, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, that's really the fun part about when you're buying a guitar. You're buying it for the inspiration. You're buying it for the story. And so the price point really, you know, I would say doesn't matter, but it does.
Yeah.
That's like the political answer, right? We're sitting here on election day. And like, don't buy a cheap guitar. Don't buy an expensive guitar. And, you know.
Don't buy guitars, but buy them all.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, I think for everyone it's different. You know, like if you're in a certain kind of band, you're going to need a certain kind of guitar, and that happens all the time. So, you know, this might be cheesy, but maybe you have a list of like, these are my no compromise type things for this guitar. So it's got to be, you know, it's got to be playable. It's got to hold its tune, you know, basic stuff. But then, you know, I really like a flame top. I'd really like a transparent finish, and hold out for those things if they're important to you, mm-hmm. you know, because it's, you know, I would play certain guitars made by certain people. I'd play if they were pink or purple or whatever, you know, just because I know that they'll play really great. But if it's really going to be like my favorite guitar, you know, I'm not choosing those colors. And so, you know, as petty as that sounds, you know, that's part of it, right?
Because
we think about like the color of everything, and we think about like, you know, all those different dynamics. You know, I remember seeing Stevie Ray with his Sunburst Strat. So my first Strat I bought that was a USA was Sunburst, because I'm like, that is the coolest color on a Strat.
Right.
And now I see other Strats.
And you were right. There's no other opinion.
But then you see other Strats and you're like, man, that's kind of cool. Olympic white with a little bit of relic, or, you know, blue, transparent blue. And then you start going down that path. And, you know, sometimes I think too is, you know, we give a lot of stock to certain things that probably don't matter as much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like, you know, you look at maybe Gibson has a massive range of, you know, studios to like Supreme Les Pauls, and there's one in there for you, and it doesn't have to be, you know, on either end of the scale necessarily.
Yeah.
You know, I think most of our experience is with, you know, the bigger names of guitars is we look at them and we say, this could be better here, or it could mm-hmm. be, you know, this is great here. I wish, you know, I've seen, like you mentioned, those SEs, you know, I've seen some of those that are just fantastic instruments. And we've got a lot of people that upgrade those with our pickups.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got guys with custom shop Les Pauls putting our PAFs in there. And it's just, so every guitar has a potential for something. And, you know, I wish I knew there was like a formula for figuring out if it speaks to you or not, you know. But I think for most people, you know, I don't know that it takes more than maybe a day or two to know about a specific guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's hanging up in a shop, you know, we used to do this growing up. We go, me and my friend, Friday, they call us the Wanker Brothers, because on Fridays we would go into the local guitar shop and we would pick up these guitars and just start playing them. And we, you know, play this and play that. And, you know, eventually we brought money in and they were like shocked because we were these, you know, punk kids and that just like greased up their guitars every Friday. And then we were like, oh, this is what I like. And, you know, that was cool for me to go and just play it
mm-hmm.
and say, this really does like inspire me and this makes me want to play more. And so I get it. This is what I want, you know? And so you start to develop that. And, you know, we're musicians, we're really like, we have a problem with gas. You know, we see something and we're like, oh man, I don't have a Telecaster. I really like a Telecaster. And then we get one and we're disappointed because we're a Strat player or we're a Les Paul player and we just can't get the Tele, or vice versa. And so I think, you know, all that to be said, you know, when we're looking at all these different options, there's a bunch of ways you can go. And it really is just making the decision that makes the most sense. And I err on the side of practicalness. And so, you know, think about, you know, I'm not going to buy a $800 guitar when we got $800 due in rent, you know, in a couple weeks. You know, it's like just dumb stuff. But, you know, we all do it. We are all like, oh, I got to have this now. And like, maybe you don't, you know, give it some time. Like, I think what you said about, you know, being patient and trying to make that decision with, you know, as much information as you can. Because, you know, I might have grown up on a Strat, but there's other guitars now that I probably even like more than a Strat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's surprising to me because I played a Strat for the first couple years exclusively almost.
Yeah.
And then it's like, it's not that I don't like a Strat, it's just that, you know, my tastes have changed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really glad I didn't spend a lot of money.
Yeah, you know, initially. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a great place to probably end the discussion for now. I'm sure it'll always pick up, but
yeah, we'll probably, this will be like an ongoing, because I don't know that we can like cover everything. And again, you know, like if you didn't know by now, these are just our opinions on this subject. And some people,
if you have any mean comments, you can direct them to Brian at no.
Yeah, just kidding. Exactly. And then I'll forward them to Derek. So. But yeah, I think too, just, you know, it is interesting subject, and I can, you know, I can argue both sides of it pretty well, I think.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's guys that will go out and, you know, not to get into the amp discussion, but there's guys that will play really, you know, what would be considered like non-boutique, you know, low-priced amps, and they're just, their tone is amazing, and they just have it. And then you look at that and you're like, man, I just spent this much of my amp and this guy's got a $400 amp and he sounds like this. And it's it's like the,
it's the same everywhere, right?
The lifelong search for tone and the guitars is just one part of it. So I would say, you know, as we kind of close, don't forget to check out our show on iTunes. You're probably already listening on iTunes, but we also have the player on our site. It's just a standalone player. So if you're finding us there, you can subscribe on iTunes, and that way, if you're on iTunes, you'll get you can subscribe to get the notifications that a new show is up. Right now, we're doing every other week, but we're trying to keep, you know, trying to keep these contents coming. We also have like our Facebook page, you know, Porter Pickups Facebook. We have Instagram, Twitter, all those things. On the website under the community page, we have the Tonecast link, so you'll be able to go and listen to the show there on a player. You'll also be able to submit questions that you have. And next week, hopefully, we're going to be, since we have Thanksgiving coming up in a couple of weeks, we're going to be recording the next show next week. And so we should be having Mitch from Emerson Custom on the show, and we'll be interviewing him, kind of going through a little bit more about their company, kind of what they're doing. So
absolutely.
That is,
it's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, that'll be good. And so if you guys have questions for Mitch at Emerson, if you get this and you're listening in time, next week we'll have him on the show. So send in some questions for him or for us, and we look forward to having him on. And again, thanks, Derek, for entertaining this discussion today, and hopefully it was helpful for you. And you know, anything back through all of our podcasts, if you have a question about something, feel free to shoot us an email. We really want to, this really needs to be an interactive type thing.
Absolutely.
Not just you and I.
Yeah.
Talking in the studio kind of thing.
Because we get to do this quite a lot anyway. So I don't know. Not for my vanity. I don't think we need to put it up on the internet. It's more embarrassment than anything else, honestly. Sure. But yeah, absolutely. If anyone has any questions, we just love connecting with you guys. And we love being able to answer some questions and just continue to grow a community of people. And, you know, everything we do, we're hoping that it's just inspiring you guys to play more, to get on the guitar and just be inspired by that. So thanks so much, and we'll look forward to talking with you next week.